It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some updates from the Big 12 baseball tournament. At 2:30, why does May 26th matter? A bunch of birthdays, actually. We'll get into some of those. And in mere minutes, the NFL is going to allow fans at games this season. A lot of fans. Talk about that and more. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. A couple of Longhorn-styled updates for you before we get into some other stuff. First off, if you were following the Texas women's tennis story when they won the national title, the player that clinched it was Lulu Sun, a freshman. She and her doubles partner were good enough to get into the individual championship. And Trey, in the round of 16, they faced the number two seeded doubles team in the bracket. And they beat them love and one.
Whoa.
To advance. So they are into the round of eight, if I am seeing that correctly. And our man Tennis Tom lets us know they earned All-American status with that win. They are the first UT women's doubles All-Americans since 1998. That women's tennis team is crushing it right now. Best of luck to that group as they move on, to that doubles team as they move on. Also, best of luck to the Longhorn baseball team. They're waiting to play against West Virginia. Right now, it's the two purple teams, and they are bringing the bats. Kansas State puts four up in the top of the first. TCU answers with two of their own in the bottom of the first. Now we are top second. And Kansas State's got a runner on with one out. These two pitchers have not been dazzling so far, Trey.
All right, boss man. Call Kevin and Rod and tell them sorry. They lost their day off.
Is it done? I have to text them? No more day off?
What is happening here? This is like turning into worst case scenario for us.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got a text from Craig. He was trying to tell me something else in the text, of kind of laying things out for me. And he texted me, yeah, if I'd known that was your idea, I'd have told you to not do it. Because this tournament always does that.
Craig knows because he goes through it in person every year.
Yep.
And it really is like the NBA playoffs each year where I see the number one and number two seeds lose that very first game. And of course, everybody swings to, oh my gosh, can they pull off the upset? And it's like, no, this is how it works every year.
Yep.
It's the same damn thing with the basketball tournament to a degree, but the baseball tournament especially.
Yep. I'm the moron that didn't ask.
Not a moron. You're
Craig
just trying
Way.
To be nice.
I didn't ask Craig Way. How did I not talk to Craig Way about this?
That's fair.
Because
it's like trying to go someplace you've never been before and not asking Craig his advice on directions.
It was so stupid. So stupid. And I'll be honest with you. I've looked at the bracket. It's just in my head, the bracket, they were the second game in the bracket, not the third game in the bracket. It just, I got it mixed up in my brain and it did not, did not go well. But we'll see what happens with Kansas State and TCU. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we will talk to Kevin Dunn, get his ideas on Texas baseball. We'll talk to Rod Babers coming up if there's a 4 o'clock hour. Rod's good to jump on there. So you'll hear from the triple option guys. And also we'll check in with Craig Way in Oklahoma City as things go on. And at some point, Trey may need to leave to go pick up his kids. And then the ultimate punishment for me will be I may have to just sit here and babble because of the mistake I made.
Is there a nickname for what happens to people after they get their second COVID shot?
Is there a nickname?
COVID vaccine flu or something?
I guess
you're just kind of getting COVID at that point.
You mean somebody that gets COVID after the second one?
No, somebody that gets the second shot and then feels like crap for like a day or a couple of days.
Oh,
or in some cases, apparently
know.
Loses their hearing in one ear, according to Chelsea Handler.
SSS? Second shot symptoms? I don't know.
So that's what Justine is dealing with right now.
Okay.
So that's why it's up in the air as to whether or not I'm going to have to make sure to be at my kids' school by 6 o'clock, because that's when they lock the doors, and apparently they just throw the kids to the curb next to the street. Now they don't really do that.
No, they don't.
They'll stick around, but I don't want to be the a-hole that's requiring a teacher or administrator to stick around for a couple of extra minutes.
You definitely don't want to be that guy. No, we'll let you do whatever you need to do. My wife went through that on both shots of the vaccine.
Oh, she felt like crap after the first one too.
Yep. Ugh. Yep. It happened both times. I think the second one was a little less time, so that might have been good. But yeah, she got severe chills and then little bit of fever right after that. Mm-hmm. So hope everybody is doing well out there. If you've gotten the vaccine, we hope you are feeling good and not getting any kind of crazy symptoms along with it. Or if you've got some symptoms, hopefully they go away quickly, because you may need to make NFL plans. 30 out of 32 NFL teams have now been told by their local municipalities 100% capacity is what they are allowed to do. And it's everybody except the Colts and Broncos right now. Kind of interesting. One of those teams is indoors. The other one is in thin air. So one's up in the mountains, one's in a dome, and for some reason both of those have not gotten the absolute clearance yet.
Do we know what thin air supposedly does to COVID? I haven't looked into that one yet.
I haven't either. I don't know what a mile high does to mile high and legal weed. What does that do to COVID-19? Can we figure out?
Totally spitballing here. This is an uneducated opinion. I feel like the cannabis kills the COVID.
I would love to think that that happens. And for the first time in my life these last few years, kind of want to go to a Broncos game.
Yeah.
Kind of want to check it out.
I can only go based on my experience. Maybe it was placebo effect, but the cannabis helped with my COVID, Chad.
There you go. Perfect. Of course it did. Hopefully Denver and Indy will get good news. The other good news, if you're a Cowboys fan, let's say, not only do you get this good news, 100% capacity, so if you're planning to go to Jerry World, make your plans, look at the schedule, do whatever you want to do and try to set some stuff up. But the other thing is training camp. Training camp, 100%, you can invite your fans to training camp. So this is great news for the Cowboys when they go out to, it's still Oxnard, California, I believe.
Yep.
So here's the other, this is the other part of it that starts to get back to normal. For a lot of those people that are frustrated by, you know, the world just coming to a stop and certain things just stop and businesses stop. Well, now things crank back up. Whatever you did in those towns when the NFL teams come in, that cranks back up. Now you can tell your bartenders, you can tell your wait staff, you can tell, oh, no, they're coming back. You didn't hear the Steelers are coming back? Latrobe, Pennsylvania, I think is the little town they go to. That changes for all those people that didn't get it last summer. Now they can crank that back up. And for Cowboys fans, Cowboys, Steelers, and Bucks can all go into camp a little earlier, but they're still allowing fans in right from the beginning because Cowboys and Steelers are going to play the Hall of Fame game still. Remember the one they were supposed to play last year?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the Cowboys and Bucks play the Thursday night game, so you're allowed to go in early for camp in that regard.
And
they let you in 3 days early.
In training camp, it's not quite as cool as spring training is, but it is still along those lines where you have a sort of up-close access to these players.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though there are a bunch of other people around you, it's just not nearly as crowded or as official as the games themselves. So I'm glad for anybody that gets to make that trip out to California, or maybe they're just waiting for the team to return to Frisco to finish off their spring practice, or not spring practices, their training camp. But for anybody else, it's great. I mean, I got to go to a couple of those as an Oilers fan when that team was down in San Antonio. And I always had a blast doing that as a teenager.
That's got to be cool now that they have the star thing set up in Frisco where you can experience, I'm sure they have ways for you to experience training camp there that they've never really had. If you're a wine person, I would think Cowboys training camp is badass. Now, I think the Raiders do it too. I think the Raiders hang out in wine country. But if you could do that, hit a couple wine tours and see the Cowboys training camp, that's pretty slick.
Heck yeah.
I checked them out in San Antonio when they were there, when they were doing that during the
Cowboys?
Yeah. During the Parcells years, it was actually the...
So yeah, that would have been after they were here at St. Ed's.
Yeah.
They went down to San Antonio for a couple years.
The trip to San Antonio when I got engaged, the next day, we went and watched a little Cowboys training camp. Parcells as the coach, you know, Witten and Romo and the whole deal. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Actually, was that Romo by then? No, it may not have been.
Bledsoe?
2002, yeah, that wouldn't have been Romo yet.
Or that might have been Quincy Carter.
Oh, God. Is that who that was? How have I stayed married this long?
Close.
We should have been cursed. So that's great news in the NFL. Bad news in the NFL, if you are a Packers fan, you know about the Aaron Rodgers issue. Well, here's the trickle down. Aaron Rodgers isn't at OTAs. Normally he's been there every year. He's not there. Extra bad news, Blake Bortles can't practice right now. He's banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jordan Love and some dude named Bankert or Beckert or Bankinert or whatever. But also, Trey, the Packers' top five receivers decided not to come to OTAs. I'm sure it's a coincidence.
Yeah, that's them sending a message that they want Aaron Rodgers back, correct?
We're talking Adams, Valdez, Scantling. What's the cat's name that went to Iowa State?
Lazard, yeah. Alan Lazard.
Him, even Equanimeous St. Brown. If you've watched the Packers the last couple of years, there's nobody that needs more reps than Equanimeous St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does. That dude needs to practice routes, catching after running routes before you catch. He needs to be there for all of it, and he's not there.
Yeah, I mean, what is the end goal here? That the Packers GM gets fired? Would that help keep Aaron Rodgers around? Because otherwise, I see this as those wide receivers wasting an opportunity to establish some rapport with the guy who's likely going to be your quarterback next year, and that's Jordan Love.
Yeah, so I rewatched the whole Kenny Mayne, Aaron Rodgers thing.
You poor bastard.
It exists on two levels for me. On level one, I thought they did a good job because that was very Kenny Mayne. It was very dry. It was very irreverent. Mm-hmm. And Rodgers gave Mayne his love. That was the whole point of it. That's why Rodgers agreed to it.
Right.
And the FU at the end was funny. But then on the second level, they were both so dry and sarcastic, we just never got to anything real.
Mm-hmm.
We never quite got there. So Kenny Mayne never figured out a way to ask a question that could have been just as simple as, hey, man, do you see a way forward here, right? You could be a Packer if certain things happened. It feels like that's where it's going. As much as he talked about people, he didn't bag his teammates, he didn't bag his coaches, and he didn't bag a fan base or anything like that. So, or the organization as a whole, I think it's somebody. And you'd start with GM. I don't know if it's the team president. Their structure's weird because of the fan ownership. That's my guess.
So perhaps it's because he made sure to mention that he has no issues with Jordan Love, that he likes Jordan Love, but he did also bring up like three or four times the fact that Jordan Love was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's the not-so-subtle message that he doesn't like the guy who's responsible for personnel. And that guy has really screwed him these last few years with regards to bringing in more weapons that he can throw the football to. They continue to draft running backs, and yeah, they did a good job of re-signing Aaron Jones, even though they let Jamal Williams go. They're confident that A.J. Dillon can be the backup or can be the guy if need be, if Aaron Jones suffers an injury. But it's about upgrading at receiver, which they've made no effort at.
The other thing that he backed up, if you listen carefully, there's a discussion out there that the Packers never intended for Aaron, not intended, that the Packers had a plan in place and Aaron Rodgers being the MVP messed with the plan. He literally said in the Kenny Mayne interview. So,
I mean, you're not taking a quarterback in the first round if you're not planning on utilizing that guy as your starter at some point in the next couple years.
There's a little bit of a chip on your shoulder vibe when you say that, but Aaron Rodgers did say those words. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So five best receivers and Aaron Rodgers aren't at OTAs. Trey, this is a team that was in the NFC title game. We'll keep talking about it over and over again until it changes, but they were in the title game. They were right there. If you don't kick the field goal, it could have been a tie game late. That was at home, too.
Yes, it was.
That game occurred in Green Bay. Remember, the Bucs had to do everything on the road. So I agree with the argument that his best shot might be with the Packers, but you just the feel you get off of him and his five best receivers not showing up is not good.
So even if you're the Packers and you're planning on moving on from the guy after last season, all his accomplishments last year did for you is just boost his value almost immeasurably. And San Francisco tried to break the bank to get him. And for whatever reason, Green Bay is now steadfast on keeping him, even though he's made it abundantly clear that he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's where, and in a way, that's what happened in Houston before the legal stuff showed up for Deshaun Watson. It's almost like the team denied it was happening.
Yeah.
Like a husband denying, well, no, your wife said at the party she didn't want to be married to you anymore. Well, no, we'll be fine. We'll work it out. Huh?
At least the Texans have the defense of, look, this guy just signed a lucrative extension with us in the middle of last season. Like, we could not have seen this coming. Green Bay has no defense. They drafted a freaking quarterback in the first round last year. So, if anything, maybe they were planning on rolling with Aaron Rodgers for 2 years, but rather than make a stink last year, which he very well could have, but he tried to play nice, tried to be a team player, but them kicking that field goal at the end of that playoff game may have been the final straw for him. Where it's like, I don't want to be in this Bush League situation anymore. This thing is run by idiots, and I want to find someplace else that still gives me a great chance to win a Super Bowl where I can separate myself from this group.
That's a really interesting point. Maybe, and because I was just about to ask you, do you think he returns LaFleur's calls? Like when LaFleur tries to text him or call him, does he respond? I wonder if that, yeah, if that was that the moment where he was willing to say, front office is front office, the dudes in suits are the dudes in suits. But that's the guy that needs to trust me. That is the guy that needs to trust me, and I'll work with him on audibles, and I'll work with him on the system. But when you stare that situation in the face, and you didn't let me go try to tie up the game with Tom Brady, you're kind of crossing a line. I wonder if, just from a football standpoint, he thinks of it that way.
What is the foundation of any good relationship?
Trust.
What does Aaron Rodgers probably not have with Matt LaFleur anymore based on that call?
Right.
Trust that he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Trust that he's actually going to keep the ball in the freaking MVP's hands to try and win him a playoff game.
Yeah, win or lose. It could have been an incomplete pass.
Right.
He could have airmailed one. He could, whatever, but let him do it.
Yeah.
That's what Andy Reid does.
That's what most good coaches do.
Sure. Andy Reid puts it in that guy's hands and says, you know what, we'll live or die with this. Let's go.
Aaron Rodgers already got a head coach fired. He got Mike McCarthy fired because Mike McCarthy was not getting the job done, the guy that's now in charge in Big D.
Yes, sir.
And now he's angling to get the GM fired, and I get why he's doing so. Otherwise, he's either going to sit out the season or he's going to be gone. And it would not surprise me at all if Green Bay tried to hold on to him through training camp, if Aaron Rodgers just announces that he's retiring.
We're also in just a whole nother dimension when it comes to these stories. We just got done with the Phil Mickelson thing, 50 years old, winning the PGA. Also going back and listening to the main interview, when he said 16 years, it startled me. Like, wait, 16 years? That's real? 16.
Wow.
We are in an era when you want to talk about is a guy bluffing or not. That's a career. It's well past a career when I was growing up. A quarterback in the NFL went 16 years. Well, he's not playing anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, he has every reason. He's done everything you'd want to do in the league. MVP, Super Bowl, whatever it is. It's just about love of the game at this point for him and adding to the legacy. But he's about to get married. Showed you what he could do with the Jeopardy thing. He's got all kinds of options. And
yeah, he can just be a side piece to his actress wife who makes millions of dollars a year.
And if the Green Bay Packers really think he's bluffing, I would tell them they need to get like one of those one of those cheat books about card playing, because I don't think this dude's bluffing.
Well, Tom Brady opened a whole new world for aging quarterbacks who can still get it done with their performance but are unhappy with the team situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady showed these guys the way. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, for whatever the flaws are that he possesses that we joke about, the cutting family off and things like that, he's still a damn good football player. One of the best quarterbacks in the league. Even though he won the MVP last year, he's probably not the best quarterback anymore. That goes to Patrick Mahomes first and foremost, and we can have an argument about who comes in second.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton
right.
Second.
Obviously, yeah.
But there are plenty of teams that are champing at the bit for Aaron Rodgers' services that will pay a hefty fee to Green Bay to get that will allow Green Bay to move on in a manner where they can test Jordan Love out, and they probably get a lot of draft capital to play with whether or not Jordan Love works out. And that includes a bunch of first-round draft picks like San Francisco tried to give them this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. One other quick point before the break. In your argument about Aaron Rodgers, let's say all the tabloid stuff is real. And he is that guy with his family, and he's that petty, and he holds a grudge or whatever. If that's all true, how do you think he's going to handle work? How do you think he'd handle a team? I know it's the Packers, and they mean something to him, but if he is that guy with personal relationships, what makes you think he wouldn't do that in a work relationship?
He'll cut him off, just like he did mom and dad.
Right? I mean, that's why I asked, does he respond if LaFleur tries to talk to him? I have no idea.
That's a weird one, man, because is LaFleur younger than Aaron Rodgers?
I'll double check.
Or is
that
he
one.
Right around his age? Whatever it is,
it's close.
Like what you were talking about, you and I were talking about during a commercial break with the former Penn State president who is finally about to have to serve some jail time, and we're talking about just how negligent he was in the Jerry Sandusky situation. You mentioned something about his boss. I'm like, oh, who was his boss? And he's like, well, and you said, well, Joe Paterno. And yeah, of course. The football coach, when the program is good, is kind of the ultimate boss of a school. Not just the athletic department, but he can make decisions for the entire school if he really wants to. It's that way at the NFL level with a superstar quarterback versus a head coach who doesn't have a whole lot of experience on that job. Aaron Rodgers does and probably should have more say-so than what Matt LaFleur does in Green Bay.
He's barely older. He's 41.
Okay.
So that tells you the difference there. I mean, that's you're within a 10-year, you're single digits in terms of the year's difference there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a more established name in the NFL. He is a guy who's coming off of an MVP season, and he makes more than the head coach, too.
Oh, yeah.
Matt LaFleur is pretty neutered in that relationship, and he kind of did it to himself, too.
There's some NFL notes for you on this May 26th. Great news that 30 out of 32 teams are going to go 100% capacity and invite fans in for training camp. Maybe some more news coming from the NFL in the next couple of days in their spring meetings. We'll keep you up to date. Up next, it's May 26th. We'll tell you why that matters, including all kinds of interesting birthdays and an activity that I have not done in a while, but, well, it was fun. I was really bad at it, but it was fun. We'll tell you what that day, a national day, is coming right up. May 26th. Glad you're with us. It's The Horn. Right there. What do you got, Trey?
Yeah, she is very artistic. I think Art Rock describes her style very accurately. I'm not the first one to say that. Saint Vincent is her name. She is a DFW native. And this song on a daily mix that was put together based on my love for Gary Clark Jr. is called Pay Your Way in Pain.
Let me just say that when it comes to a beat style of music, there are two things that I love that are not normally thought of as being a part of the beat that can be a part of the beat that I love as part of the beat. One of those things is gunshots. The other one is moaning.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of female moaning as, I guess, I've never really heard one with male moaning, so it might work. But female moaning, always good for me as a part of the mix. I enjoy that.
The first song that comes to mind that has some male, although wait a second, no, that's Salt and Pepper. Never mind. Push It. Was there a male version of Push It?
Yeah, I don't think so. They did it. That was, you're right. The in Push It. Yeah. That's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, all right, wonderful. Never mind. We'll try and figure out a good male moan to see if that gets you going.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll work the same way. Saint Vincent, part of the group today. Trey's going from a list of folks that are suggested because of his love of Gary Clark Jr. If you don't know about Gary, definitely check out some Gary when you get a chance. Also, the London Souls have been a part of it today. Granddaddy, SIMO. We're going to go with SIMO on that, S-I-M-O.
Sure.
Yeah, SIMO.
And, glad you're keeping track of these names.
And the best name of the day is Stan Webb's Chicken Shack. That's just worthy of maybe digging in and seeing if they're any good. Because you can get a name like that that you actually like, that could be really, really good. True. All right. Let's check in on the Purple Crew before we tell you why today matters. It is now 5-3 Kansas State. They've gone into the third inning now. Boy, these two pitchers have not had great days. Something tells me.
Stop scoring runs, guys.
Something tells me Kansas State and TCU didn't go with their studs today on the mound. 5-3, top of the third. We will keep you updated.
Top of the third?
Top of the third.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Top of the third.
Chad, we're going to be on until 6 o'clock.
Craig's guess was 5:30. Craig's last.
Oh, okay. So I really will be leaving before you're done for the day.
Probably.
If that happens. Because I do have to leave. I have no idea what traffic's going to look like at 5 o'clock. I probably have to leave by 4:45 or 5.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Okay. All right.
It's fine. I got the people are here. We'll have text line going on.
Oh, man.
We will figure it out. Look, I'm the one that made this mistake. So ultimately, I should be the one to have to eat it.
Okay.
It's going to be the way that it works.
I feel bad, but all right.
You know, it is what it is. We'll deal with it. 5-3 Kansas State, and we'll keep you updated. Right now, we're going to tell you why May the 26th matters. Here we go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right. We do have some birthdays to get to. Before we do that, Trey, just a quick assessment from you. What does it say about me if I know today is the day that I first ask a girl out? What does that say about me?
We had a conversation yesterday, Chad, on Geek Pride Day.
Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't include your penchant for remembering random anniversaries.
I do remember
them. That's a geeky quality for you.
It is geeky, yeah.
And it's something that I think we all appreciate as well. I heard Rod and Kevin talking about it at the start of yesterday's Triple Option. Like, you're just one of those people who has a memory for dates that most of us don't appreciate until we hear somebody bringing it up to us.
I can at least get you within a week of a lot of weird things of, like, why would you remember something like that? Yes, different shows and when things start and all those things.
So what did the first asking a girl out moment look like for you? When was it?
So this is, okay, so it was 1988.
All right.
It is standing at the lockers. I was planning it throughout the day. This is the one where I had to get the clearance from my best friend at the time.
Yep.
To ask, because he had dated her previously, but I wasn't going there unless he gave me the green light.
What a stand-up guy to allow this.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. I appreciated it because he knew deep down, and he said it to me. He said, "You know what?" He goes, "I don't think we're going to go long term. Like, I like her, but I don't think I like her like that."
Oh, wait a second. So he was still seeing her?
No. We had the discussion as they were, like, breaking up.
Gotcha.
But then this is well after that.
Jeez, man. The body's still warm.
No, it wasn't like that. No, it wasn't like that at all. So after class, I can still, like, I see the moment. I see the locker in my head. And, man, I was as nervous as I could be, probably flop sweating all over the place. And I walked up and asked her to whatever it was. I mean, you're in junior high, so I didn't ask her to go anywhere. All I was asking was, like, will you be my girlfriend, basically? And it was terrifying, but she said yes.
So she said she would be your girlfriend, and what was the next step after that?
I don't even remember.
So you remember the date.
Right.
You remember the date of asking the girl out, but you don't remember the date itself.
I don't remember exactly what we did that would constitute the first date, no. I remember it being a great summer. I remember hanging out with her. I remember going to the Mesquite Championship Rodeo with her and some other people and a group. But I can't tell you exactly what we did on the first date.
So the first girl that I asked out would have been after my senior year in high school.
Wow, okay.
Whatever that means. And prom doesn't count because I got set up with a girl who had just broken up with her boyfriend for prom. But I didn't, I mean, I guess technically I probably did have to talk to her to ask her out. But that was totally set up by a mutual friend. So it would have been summer after my senior year. And I was pretty confident that she would say yes. Because she was like a neighborhood friend. I'd hang out with my buddy Chris Bailey's place.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dating a girl who lived a couple houses down. And one of her good friends was always hanging out. We just ended up in makeout sessions from time to time that summer.
All right.
And so when I finally asked her out, I felt pretty good about her saying yes, and she did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jill.
High-level pressure moment. I think maybe in those – the other reason I remember some of those dates is when it happens as infrequently as it happens. Like, the list of people that said yes to me when I asked that question, it's not long.
Well,
so
88 was still pretty early in the process,
gotta
too.
Remember. Yeah, I'm 13
that's
years.
Not, that's like not asking somebody out in college or beyond.
That's correct, yes. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yes, that's why May 26 matters to me. But why it might matter to you, there are some other birthdays out there. We're music snobs. Miles Davis has a birthday today. I mean, that's a big dog.
Huge.
In the music world. He would have been 95. Stevie Nicks, who's a part of ACL, 73. The Witch herself is 73 today. Hank Williams Jr., is it your first concert?
First concert, good memory.
72 today for Bo Cephas. And this
hopefully
one,
he is doing a better job of remembering the words and not being as drunk on stage than he was my first show.
He is one of those guys. There's a collection of musicians, all different walks of music, all different types of music, where there can be a really good and a really bad version.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always heard that about Bo Cephas. If you got the wrong version, it was a trashy show. I mean, just an awful version of the show.
It was so bad, I'm a little bit surprised that I like live music as much as I do, because that's one of those situations that could be so off-putting. You can just be like, I just don't care to go see live music anymore. I saw what it's all about.
I have a really good friend whose mother went to Baylor. They saw Elvis came to Waco when she was at Baylor.
Was it Fat Elvis?
He sang 2.5 songs, messed up the words, slurred his way through an apology, and left.
Oh, well, at least he apologized.
They had to drag him off stage.
It's more than I got from Lemmy.
Yeah. Lemmy was trying to save every word, brother.
That's fair.
Come on.
That's fair.
Come on. Also, this one makes me feel really old. Certain musicians are never supposed to feel old to me. Lenny Kravitz is 57 today.
Wow.
That makes me feel old.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like Lenny Kravitz should be 57.
Lenny's supposed to be like the cool guy playing a guitar, looking like a badass, having abs I could never dream of. Not 57. 57 and he's been in a movie with Jennifer Lawrence? That's not right.
Yeah. Lenny Kravitz, he peaked as a musician back in the 90s, right? With Are You Gonna Go My Way and his cover of American Woman.
That first album is probably his peak, because by the time he hit American Woman, I wouldn't even argue that's the peak. But he had some really good stuff.
But that was kind of the end of the peak for him, where it's like, all right, this is a good Lenny Kravitz. But since then, I think he's just been living based on that reputation, right?
I think that's probably fair. It's got to be a good show. Got to be a good live show. He's a talented guy.
It's a great day for musicians. Miles Davis, Stevie Nicks, Lenny Kravitz, Lauryn Hill is on that list, too.
Lauryn Hill, extremely talented. Yep. That's an album I've never listened to, that Lauryn Hill record. What's it called? The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill?
Miseducation. It's great. One of my favorite unplugs of all time was Lauryn Hill.
Yeah,
she sings this song that she wrote about Wyclef Jean because they had been together for a little while. She gets so emotional in singing this song that she breaks up and asks to stop singing, but she's still playing the acoustic guitar the entire time. It's one of the most powerful live performances that I've ever heard on a CD or album before.
All right, Trey, before the break, today's National Paper Airplane Day. Back in the day, if it was needed as a part of a project, could you whip me up an effective paper airplane?
Back in the day, yes. But I realized recently, because my kids have started to ask me to help them with their origami, the fortune tellers, where you've got the things on your fingers, and it's pick a number, pick a color. I can do those okay still, but I forgot some of the specs for a good paper airplane that allows that thing to either go a long ways or do all sorts of crazy tricks while staying in the air.
I still need to sit down a group of girls I went to elementary school with and ask them where they learned to make those little origami things. I don't feel like one guy knew how to make them. It felt like it was only girls making them, and then they would walk up to you. It was like their way of flirting with you in a way. They would walk up to you and play the game and 1, 2, 3, 4, you're going to marry Susie or whatever the game was. I never saw a guy make one of those things. I never saw a guy possess one of those things. It was always a girl's tool is what it was.
So, Vivi, I got the sense that Vivi was asking for these things to be made to impress some boys in class.
Uh-huh.
And then she also went so far, gosh, she's such a little manipulator. She went so far as to get me to make a fortune teller for Calvin, who can't read yet, so we had no idea what was going on. So she ends up taking that one over, too.
That's a good plan. 2 for 1.
It worked.
She got a twofer.
She know dad's a sucker about certain things.
Yeah, she's got a home fortune teller and one for work. Yeah. One to take to class with her.
What was the question you asked about Pam Grier, since it's her birthday today, too?
My question about Pam Grier was the famous people you're attracted to outside of your own race.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Pam Grier was one of the first people I remember. Tina Turner was one, and Felicia Rashad was one. But Pam Grier, in terms of black women I saw on television that I was attracted to, she was one of those early, early ones.
My first one's easy.
Yep.
Because it's the first crush, period. It's Felicia Rashad in The Cosby Show.
Yeah, you mentioned her the other day immediately. She was so pretty.
Still love her.
Oh, she was amazing. She was great. Another one was Janet Dubois on Good Times. What was the character's name?
Walona. I know who you're talking about, but I never watched that show, though.
Oh, mercy. Mercy me. Yeah, Pam Grier, definitely one of those for me. They just made those people that make you realize, I could share whatever with the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I always say, when my wife opened that door the very first time, if she'd still been my wife, if she'd still been that person, she could have been anything. She could have been from anywhere. My God, she's a Steelers fan. That shows you how open-minded I was. But she could have been anything. She could have been a black woman. She could have been a Chinese woman. Doesn't matter.
You're saying if she was a kid, you still would have?
No, not a kid. You didn't have to immediately go there. She's still an adult, you sicko.
You're the one that said whatever.
My God, you realize how long I'm going to have to be on the air today?
Like,
now you're doing that?
Like your wife came through the door and it's actually Wade the dog. Like you'd still have the same romantic relationship. You said whatever. You opened the door.
I said she could have been anybody, not anything, not any creature, big or small. No, come on.
Look, when it boils down to it, Chad, if you go far enough back, we're all related. All animals, all plants, we all come from the same bacteria.
Oh, my God. You know what? As long as she was a creature 18 years or older that was agreeing to the date, I probably would have been fine with it.
A creature.
Let's be honest. A creature 18 years or older that could fog a mirror. At that point, that's kind of what I was looking for.
Glad I just bought some Jif.
Oh, now that is a period on the end of a sentence that is this segment. All right, that's why May 26th might matter to us. Up next, Stems and Seeds, before we get out of here for Shirts and Skins today, including an update from golf. You like Phil Mickelson as a PGA winner? Well, they've got one of those made-for-TV events with him and Tom Brady. We'll tell you who they're going to play coming up on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
The computer knows Trey likes Gary Clark Jr., so it's throwing out ideas. What do you got, Trey?
We may have to probe a little bit deeper into Stan Webb's Chicken Shack's catalog.
Uh-oh.
Chad?
We back to Stan?
This is You'll Be Mine. Sounds pretty good.
Stan, you know, if you're going to call yourself Stan Webb's Chicken Shack,
you better bring it.
Might have something. Might have something. All right, we may maybe checking out some more Chicken Shack as we roll on. Going to be some extra coverage for you today from myself, from Trey for a while, then Trey's going to have to back out, and then Karma is going to have me on the air for a while. Texas baseball is coming up against West Virginia. Let's update you on this purple game. How about top four? Runners on first and third? Of course there are. One out for, who is this? Kansas State batting at this point. They lead TCU 5-3. We will keep you up to date on that one. But, as I said, they're not even halfway done yet here as we almost get to 3 o'clock. Remember, the original scheduled time was 4 o'clock. We will talk to Kevin Dunn coming up at 3 and get a preview of Texas, what he's feeling about the Longhorns going into the tournament. At 3:45, when we would have had pregame, we'll talk to Craig Way, get his sense for where things are schedule-wise. 4 o'clock. If, I'll say if, just like we're really not going to be on at that point. 4:05, we'll talk to Rod Babers. The triple option guys will be hanging out a little bit, even though they won't have an official show today. So we'll get that going. But before we get out of here for Shirts and Skins today, let's do what we always do about this time. It is Stems and Seeds. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, do you fall for these either pay-per-view or regular, like, made-for-TV golf things? Do you ever watch them? Do you care about these things?
No.
It doesn't feel like something that would draw you in. I'm weak. I get drawn in by them every time.
Oh, you're talking about the Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson,
correct,
DeChambeau, and
yes,
Aaron Rodgers match.
Like, when you hear these things, do you care?
No.
Okay. That is the matchup, by the way. Phil and Tom Brady, because they do love each other so much. They're both old. They're both awesome. And they both just won't stop, you know, getting better looking. They will take on Bryson DeChambeau, Smart Hulk, and Aaron Rodgers. Now, those conversations will be educational.
Did you see what Brooks Koepka tweeted at Aaron Rodgers?
No! Oh, God, please tell me.
Sorry, bro.
Ha 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 ha.
He's not letting up with that one, man.
My God, I love both of them.
Well, he's been going at Bryson since, what, a couple years ago when he was upset with how slow he was playing? Which is a common gripe amongst dudes on the tour. Now, Koepka's also a world-class a-hole, but it's funny that he is keeping that bit going.
Also, DeChambeau, after DeChambeau started bulking up, there was this thing where Brooks was, people thought he was kind of bulking up a little bit. Well, DeChambeau took that as, oh, he's trying to be like me. So he, like, tweeted something at him about, eh, bro, look at this. Yeah, look what he's doing. And then Brooks took that as a bit of a slight, and he tweeted back at him with, like, a picture of the four trophies, the four majors that he won at the time. And, of course, he still has four, and DeChambeau didn't have any at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Brooks was taking that as a slight. He fires back. Now we've had all this other stuff, the walking behind him at the Golf Channel thing and the interview and the line about a did you hear what they think DeChambeau said to him?
No, what?
So he's talking about reading the putts in the wind, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's tough. It's windy out here trying to read the putts. DeChambeau apparently walked behind him and said, yeah, you gotta play the right line, too. And then he just kept walking.
He wasn't wrong.
No, he wasn't, but...
Well, look, it's two a-holes going after one another. I'm just going to enjoy it.
That's funny. I love that he tweeted that. Another place where social media can be fun... it's just pettiness, weird pettiness out of nowhere like that. So that's coming up July 6th, if I'm not mistaken. Phil and Tom against DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. We also mentioned today Aaron Rodgers is not at OTAs. You already knew that. But his top five receivers are also not at OTAs. So if you thought that Jordan Love and Devontae Adams were going to get some extra reps, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, by the way, for those who have missed this on Twitter, is the old guy at a couple's vacation. He and his fiancée, Shailene Woodley, the actress, she starred in a film at one point with Miles Teller, who you may not recognize the name, you would recognize the face, though. He and his wife are with Aaron and Shailene in Hawaii, and they were in the wilderness somewhere with their shirts off, and Aaron Rodgers is looking like old guy in that group, too. I know he's only 37 or 38 years old, but when you're hanging out with a bunch of in-shape, late 20s, early 30s movie stars, it's really going to show.
Aaron's reading all the, like, signs next to the trees or whatever. You know, they say this oak doesn't grow here anymore. Where are you guys going? Dude, we're going to the beach.
Oh, he's definitely the guy pulling out either his iPhone to light up the menu at restaurants at night, or he just has the straight-up magnifying glass.
Is Aaron wearing readers? What is going on? Yeah, I don't know much about, specifically, the partying styles of that actor. I'm just going to assume Aaron Rodgers can't keep up with him. I wouldn't even get close. I'm 46 years old. I can't keep up with my man and his wife. I know it.
I don't know if they're that big of partiers. Maybe they're just enjoying the tropical environment of Hawaii for a week.
Oh, man, that is funny. Trey, here's a little stem and seed for you from our guy Jeff Howe. Jeff was not on Light the Tower today because he's with Steve Sarkisian and the other members of the media at the Coaches Clinic in Houston. So here's the tweet. Jeff Howe tweets out at Jeff Howe 247, by the way. Sark once again mentioned publicly that the Longhorns will look at how to get Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson on the field at the same time.
Love it.
Hashtag hook 'em. How about that?
Thunder and lightning.
It's a good idea, right?
Heck yes, it is.
When's the last time you actually needed a fullback and a running back on the field together? When was the last time?
Well, and Roschon Johnson would be a fierce lead blocker, too, at times.
You can teach him to block. They'll block for each other.
Bijan Robinson will be a great blocker, too, when he wants to be.
You don't think those Alabama running backs been blocking for each other for years?
Right.
You think Trent Richardson never threw a block?
True.
If they asked him to?
That's true.
Come on, man. They got enough running backs. Trust me, you got to learn how to do that at Alabama, or they will not let you out on the field. Interesting stuff there. All right, more coming. We will be covering for the fellas and getting you ready for Texas baseball. Kevin Dunn coming right up to get you a preview. Have a good one. See ya.